Thank you for having me this morning. I always have me every morning. But thank you for having me. And thank you for the privilege to come and share with you the word that the Lord has birthed in my heart for you. I'm going to say a couple of things, and I hope you will engage me in some of the things that I'm going to share, which will touch on the state of the church as well, but on a global level and in our nation. Recently, I've been saying to a number of pastors who've been passing away, at a time I don't believe it was their time for them to leave. It's premature death. And even during COVID, you know, many of you know, during COVID, they said, close the church. I took a walk that day. I said, Lord, should I close? He said, you can't close my church. It's not your church. And there's no way that any sickness can prevent me. So you are not going to close any of the branches. So we didn't close in Soweto. We didn't close in Krugersdorp. We didn't close in Kwatema. And one doctor, he's a theologian, wrote to me, Dr. Kauwe, said to me, Apostle, you are careless. You are careless with the people of God. He said, we are seeing you, because we're still one streaming on Facebook. He said, we are seeing you, and this is carelessness. You should take caution or precaution. Anything happen, we will blame you. And I said to him, in my humble response, nothing will happen. I'm not careless because they're not mine. The one who cares for them said not to close. Cut the story short, many of the people who told me to close, some of them have passed away, their wives. In that safe space, they died. No one passed away in the church by the grace of God. But one of the things we did that the Lord instructed me was take the Eucharist every Sunday when you meet. So it has been a culture from then to now. Every Sunday we meet, we partake. But what does that mean? Because there has to be an understanding. And the understanding was you are partakers of the divine life. You are partakers of the life of God. It's not your life. And the minute you become careful as your life, you take it out of the hand of Jesus. And once it's out of his hand, you are now in control of it. But if he's in control of it and is his life, then it comes under his lordship. So one of the things we proclaim when we take the communion, we proclaim in death. But what is that death to? It is death to who we were. It is death to the old man, which was under the law of sin and death. So the new man who's under the law of the spirit of life cannot die. In essence, now I'm going to give you the two differences. You see, in the Old Testament, you didn't touch somebody who was sick. Because when you touched them, you were under the same law that made them sick. And that sickness will transfer to you. But in the New Testament, Jesus touches anyone who's sick. So when he touches the sick, he then transfers the life to them. So whatever they are and is going through, it breaks because the new life, which is the life that brings in the law of the spirit, transfers life to them. Are we still here? So we are talking today on a subject matter, and I'll just pass in there, of being born of God. Because being born of God has to bring into it the realities of who God is. And the intention and the purpose of God has always been that we who are born of him operate in the same level and dimension of life in which he operates in. Are we still here? Are we still here? So we're reading from our scripture reading from the book of 1 John chapter 5, verses 1. 1 John 5, verse 1. It says, whoever believes that, please note the message, that Jesus is born, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ. Now I'm going to deal with something by the authority of an apostle. Because the charismatic told us that Christ means the anointed one. But that's not what that is. What that is an anointed king. Because when Peter in Matthew 16 gets the revelation by the Spirit, and he says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the following words is, upon this revelation, I build a Senate. What is a Senate? A Senate is a legislative body that is an extension of the rule of a king. By the way, that was done in Philippi. Philippi is where Rome had headquartered its Senate. Are you still here? So he gets that revelation in Philippi. Where is the headquarter? So Jesus is saying, I'm about to set up my headquarter in the earth. Oh, Jesus. I'm about to set up my Senate. And that Senate will extend my rule such that even when I'm not here, I'm here. I'm here through them to advance my cause. And then the next word he used was that the gates of hate shall not prevail against it. Now, where is the gates of poverty, sickness, disease, brokenness, generational? It doesn't matter what the gates are. They will not prevail. By the way, when Peter gets that revelation that Jesus is Christ, it's not a new revelation. How many of you know it's not new? Because he's simply picking up on what Jacob picked up when he was running and came to the land of Ur, which means light, revelation. So he comes to the land of revelation. And on that night, the knight is running away from his brother. He takes a stone and puts a head upon the stone. And while he slept, I like how he puts it, he said, he dreamt a dream. Say, he dreamt a dream. In other words, that which he saw was a reality beyond the natural. And I want to submit to you, until you see a reality beyond the natural, you're going to keep running away from what should be running for away from you. As until you see yourself in the light of the revelation of who God says you are, you will be chased by the devil and you will be chasing the devil. So there's a church that's chasing the devil. All their sermon is the devil. Oh, you're not hearing me. You get me. You get me. Because in their perspective, he is great. But when you come into the revelation of Christ, that revelation shows you your greatness. So whoever believes what? That Jesus is the Christ. In actual fact, this is what the Jews don't believe. They believe Jesus is a prophet. Awesome. They believe he's a great teacher. He's a rabbi, rabbon. But they don't believe that he is the Christ. And that's why, because they don't believe that. And it says, and everyone who loves him, let's go to verse 4. Because everyone who believes that, he says, for whatever, by the way, the right rendering of that word, whatever, is whoever. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. But before you are born of God, you must first believe that he is the Christ. So whoever believes that is then born of God. Then the question is, who is God? Who is he? How? I thought you worship him, but you don't know who is he. So who is God? Because whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Who is Christ? Maybe that one will make it easy. Okay, I submit to you, Romans 9:5b. Christ is the eternally blessed God. So whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, in essence, he is believing what John talks about as doctrine. And he says, he who doesn't believe that Jesus has come as a man in the flesh. In other words, God became man. And he was in the flesh. He says, whoever doesn't believe that does not believe the truth. Are we together? Are we not about to celebrate Christmas? What is Christmas? Christmas is simply that God came as a man. And he tabernacled and dwelt among us. So whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ. Now Jesus is the person, the child. But that child was God in human flesh. So if you don't believe that, then you cannot be born of God. But if you believe that, then you are born of God. And to be born of God, that means you are who God is. So when did you become a child of God? John chapter 1 says, when we believed in his name, we were born of him. But what is his name? His name is a revelation of who he is, but his name is also his nature. That means the one who's born of God is in the nature of God. Okay, I'm happy with it. The day you were born as a Pretorius, you have the DNA of the Pretorius. It's already in you. At that day you were born, you are already everything your parents are. It's within you. So you don't work to be what you already are, because you became when you were born. So what am I saying? When you are born of God, you already are in the very nature that God is. And what is then the deception? Because the deception that we find in the body of Christ is trying to be what we already are. When Satan came to the woman in the garden, he said, if you eat, if you do what? Tell your neighbor, eating is important. If you don't eat, you don't grow. Is that not so? You were a baby, you had to eat, you had to have the milk so you can grow into who you already were. Please mark my weight. When you ate, you grew into who you already were. So the correct knowledge must feed you to grow into who you already are. So the serpent said, if you eat, you will be like. So the purpose of eating is that she was eating to be like what she already was. That she didn't know she was like. Because I don't have to perform to be who I am like. Because the very essence of my creation is to be like him. Say like him. Say like him. So whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ. Now, this is why John says, if anyone doesn't bring this doctrine, don't receive him. Which is the doctrine of Christ, of Father and Son. So that means this doctrine reveals a son who's exactly like the father. That when he is there, the father is there. But the father is there in his totality. What the church believes when it talks about revival is talking about more of God coming. I've got news for you. There's no more God coming because all of God is here. What is to happen is you are to grow into all that he is that you are. And that growth is in knowledge. Colossians chapter 3 says that he's created according to God. Is that not so? But he's renewed in terms of knowledge. So why are people perishing? It's a lack of what? Knowledge. So what did she like to know? She liked to know that she already was like God. So when you were born, and what we call born again, I mean, the Greek word is a very interesting word, anaginano, which means also could be denoted an offspring of. You come from, and you are exactly like what you come from. You're not half like where you come from. You're exactly like where you come from. Now, I'm going to give it a simple definition. Number one, John 4, verse 24, you all know it. It says God is spirit. So if I'm born of God, I'm born of God who is spirit. Now, the word born that is used, because you remember in John 3, when Jesus is talking to Nico, I like Nico, he's a very interesting chap. Because, you know, he's got a standing in a position in the Sanhedrin, and he doesn't want to show up, you know, to this guy, this new guy that everybody talks against. He wants to show up at night. And by the way, if I was going to be a bit prophetic, I'll tell you why he shows up at night. Because he's showing to the light of revelation. Oh, you missed me there. Because this is who is the light of God. And that's why when the prophet prophesied, they said to him that the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Now, can I talk to you just a little bit? Ephesians 5, it says, you are light. That means what God is, you are. And you were light the very day you were born of God. What was that day when you believed? And how were you born of God? First Peter chapter 2, verse 23, it says, we're born of the incorruptible seed. That seed is the word of God. And that seed is God. Your Bible will read, and the word of God who lives forever. He says, it abides forever. It's a person. That word is Jesus. That's who you were born of, and being born of the word of God, you were born of God. John chapter 1, in the beginning was? The word was with God. The word was God. So if you are born of the word of God, you are born of who? Of God. That means you have the divine DNA of God. The divine nature of God. And if God is spirit, what are you? Because this is the confusion in the body. If God is spirit, what am I? I'm spirit. So in essence, when Jesus is talking to Nico, he says, listen, unless you are born again, you cannot see. Say, see. He cannot enter. So two ways. You cannot see, you cannot enter. What is it that you can't see, you can't enter? Say, the kingdom. Whose kingdom? The kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to give you another definition of the kingdom because I know charismatics have confused it. In other words, unless you are born again, you cannot see the reality and existence of where the king is. So can I submit something? You are not in South Africa as a citizen. You are in the kingdom of God. Let me submit the second one. Jesus says, I do what I see my Father do. Now, you cannot be in the household. You cannot be born in that family. And if you are not born in that family, then you don't see what the father and the mother in that family are doing. And if you don't see what they are doing, you cannot do what they are doing. Are you still here? Are you still here? So the term born that Jesus is using, he's trying to explain a spiritual reality, which is a reality that has already happened concerning you and me. It's not going to happen. We already are. We're not going to become. Now, I said the statement, and some pastor got offended. I said, we don't pray for revival in Lighthouse. We are in revival every day. Every day. We're not asking God to heal people. He's doing it all the time. Because Ephesians says we are created in Christ. That means in that reality. We are created in Christ. Is that where we are now? Let me say something. I'm going to say something. The church is laboring to be where it is. Because it doesn't understand where it is. And it doesn't understand to walk out the reality of where it is now. Now are we, 1 John chapter 3, now are we the children of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall be like him because we shall see him. See, come and say see. Now let me help you with the term see, because what children do is that they look at their parents and they imitate what their parents are doing, but they are seeing what their parents are doing. So when Jesus healed anybody, he said, I do what I see, not what I've seen, what I see in the now. That's why Paul's prayer for the church is that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. So what Satan has done to the church is to blind the church to who you already are. And because you are blinded to who you are, then I can make you what you are not. But let me submit three things. When you are born, say when you are born. You are born what? A baby. You are born what? All of us come here as what? Babies. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, you are still a baby in Christ. And when you are a baby, you need the milk of the word. Now, in Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 1, he describes the milk. The milk is very simple. Now, I'm going to help us locate where we are as the church because we're still in the milk phase. There are those who are matured, but I'm talking in terms of corporate. Now, he says milk, number one, is repentance, metanoia, change the way you think. So we are dealing with the thinking of the church. Because until you are impacted psychologically in terms of who you are, you can walk out who you are. Remember, I said we are created in Christ. It says we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which we should walk in them. That word walk is actually live in them. So that means you are to be living in good works every day. Oh, I'm going to say something. You shouldn't be waiting for good works. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. That means we should be healing the whole of Tshwane every day. No. We're not holding a prayer meeting. That's why we're praying incorrectly. We're holding a prayer meeting asking God to come heal. Because we have no revelation that we are the healers. That he has ordained us, and Paul says, these things were ordained for our glory. In other words, when we do this thing, that means 20 could be bad because he's waiting for us. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. But what we have done, because we've regarding ourselves in the natural, we are complaining like natural men. It's like a doctor showing up with all the equipment. He's fully equipped to heal this sickness. And he's complaining about the one who's sick. While he's carrying the healer and he's carrying the healing for the sick. And the reason is we don't walk in that consciousness 24/7. Okay, let me give you awakening. What is an awakening to righteousness? It's awakening to the nature of God. That's what it is. 1 Corinthians 15 says, awake to righteousness and sin no more. Listen, note, it didn't say become righteous. It says awake to it. Apostle Stephen last talked about the wife came looking for him. He was in the bed. He was there. She didn't have to create him. She just removed the blanket and covered him. So what has to happen is an uncovering. So when Peter got a revelation, he said, you are the Christ by the Spirit. So what the Spirit does is it uncovers Christ. Galatians chapter 1 says, Paul is writing about himself. He said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. Now I thought his son is in heaven. Okay, maybe I'll just prophesy to help you. Heaven's reality is already here. Heaven's reality is already here. Now, this is an Old Testament prophet, and I'm going to show you the difference. Moses says, a prophet like unto me shall the Lord raise for you. He that doesn't hear that prophet will be cut off. He doesn't say he that doesn't hear me. Because if you don't hear Moses, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, you'll be stoned. But this one, when he speaks, if you don't hear him, that means this one has a final authority of decision. He doesn't have to consult anybody. So what in essence Moses is saying, he's saying the one that's coming is greater than me. But you have a New Testament church that is busting in the reality of old guys while they have something better. And the old guys said there's something better. But the new guys who have something better are looking back at the old guys. Yet the least in the kingdom, say the kingdom is here. Where is it? In you. So are you praying for it to come? Let me tell you what the kingdom wants to do. The kingdom wants to find full expression through you. Because it came in its totality. Now, some of you look shocked. It's here. Question is, how does it express? How does it find its expression through you? Number one, it does so through your accurate information about it, which is knowledge. So without its knowledge, it cannot find full expression through you. Okay. So when a baby is born, they already have the DNA of their parents. They already are like their parent. So what needs to happen is growth. What is growth? Spiritual growth is grow in the knowledge. So what am I growing? I'm growing in the knowledge of who I already am. Now, in order for me to grow in the knowledge of who I am, I must know the one through whom I was born. So the more I know him, the more I know me. Now, let's say I find you in, we're born in the same family, we're brothers, and I find you in the family, you are doing things I'm not yet doing. It's not because the parents are partial between you and me. It's because there are things you know they can entrust you with that they cannot entrust me with because I'm still a baby. So when I look at you, I should be seeing what my elder brother is doing that I'm capable of also doing as well. And the reason I'm not doing it as yet, because I have the ability, because we are all born of the same parents. But the reason I'm not yet doing it is not that I cannot do it. It's that I'm not yet matured enough to do it. So I'm going to throw this one out for you so that you enjoy it. By the way, it's in Luke chapter 2. You're going to understand. The Bible tells us about Jesus. It says, the baby Jesus. It says, you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Jesus as a baby, Jesus as a child, Jesus as a boy, and it goes on there. It says, the boy Jesus, I have notes. I said they must give you the notes. The boy Jesus, and then he says, when the voice came to him, when he's a mature, he says, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Can I ask you a question? The day he was born, was he not the child of God? Was he not? He was. Matthew 1, he says, this is the child of the Holy Spirit. So he was born of what? Of the Spirit. By the way, that birth is supernatural. Because he's born of God. He's born of the seed. He's born of the word of God. How many of you know that he's born the same way you are born again? You are born supernaturally. But the challenge is that you are a supernatural being in a natural body who has been educated well in the natural and how to live in the natural, but you don't know how to live as you. You don't know how to live in the supernatural life that you already have, who you already are. And that's why the doctrine, say doctrine, the doctrine is of Christ. I want to say something. Please help me with it. The doctrine is not of Jesus. The doctrine is of Christ. Now, we talk the death. We talk the finished work. But the death and finished work was to end the old man in order to usher in the new man. So what I'm talking about is the reality of the new man. Working as... So the reason... Let me help. The reason Jesus refers himself... And remember, say seed. 1 Peter 2, verse 23, he says, we are born of the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. Your version will say it. It's not it, it's a person who lives and endures forever. That means who has eternal life. And John 3, verse 16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. By the way, the word begotten is born again. Is that also? It's the same word anigema. It means to be born of God. Now, that birth is not physical birth. So you were not born again physically. That means the minute you regard yourself according to the flesh, you're not regarding yourself according to the spirit, who you really are. So you, let me, I'm going to say a very tender, you can live all your life. And I've seen it. You can live all your life and all you regard yourself as, you can regard yourself as a black person and suffer for all your life, yet you don't regard yourself as a child of God. Because you are as a child of God, no matter what's happening in your environment, you are superior and above it. And you can live your whole Christian life suffering, unnecessary, because you have, you don't have an understanding of who you already are. And already, because let me say this. When you understand you're a child, then you have another thing. You have an inheritance. You have an inheritance. There's what belongs to you. So you can never walk in your inheritance that you have not identified with. And only children have inheritance in families. So God will not give you an inheritance with the mindset of a slave. Identity. And a majority has been told a lie about your father. Are you still here? I hope I'm not talking above anybody said. Galatians says a child, even though he's a heir, does not differ from a slave. Though he be the master. Please put that up. Galatians 4. Though he be the master of all. That means all belongs to him. Can I say this again? Okay, I'll put it nice. All belongs to us. Pretoria belongs to us. Let me go further. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness. The entire earth belongs to us. That if we don't like what's happening in Ukraine, we have a power to change it. Everything belongs to us. In actual fact, the proper management of the estate is given to the son. How many of you have read a scripture that he will strike the earth with his word? That means you can strike the earth with your word. Lord Jesus, help me. It doesn't matter where you are. With your word, you can influence what happens anywhere in the earth by just speaking. Now, the other scripture, 1 John says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Say, our faith. Now, we have a powerful Bible teacher here. If we broke down that scripture, you can't be saved without faith. We know that, isn't it? So that faith is actually the faith of God. Ephesians 2 says, but God, who's rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, saved us by grace. That not of yourself, but is a gift of God. And he says, that gift is a gift of faith. So how did God, when God gave birth to you through his word, and you were a child, he gave you his faith. So the teaching that you must look for faith is a lie. You already have the faith of God. Because you wouldn't be saved without the faith of God. So in Mark 11, the accurate rendering of that scripture where Jesus said, have faith, it didn't mean that. He said, you have the faith of God. Now, how did Jesus have the faith of God to talk to a tree? He is born of God. So if I'm born of God who has faith, I have his faith. Not only that, I have his love. I have the capacity to love just like he loves. Are you not in his nature? So some of us have been educated against ourselves. So most time when I go to church on Sunday, the Lord will tell me, somebody's coming, they have this condition. Please heal them for me, son. I said, but Lord, I thought you were the one healing. Now, I'm going to say something. Please do hear me. He says, those who believe in his name are the ones who are children of God. And God gave them the right to be called children because they believe in his name. Can I say something? According to Exodus chapter 6, when we go into the Old Testament, God didn't reveal all he was to all the prophets. He revealed a portion of himself that they carried, that he wanted to be carried in that particular generation. But when he came, he revealed his totality in Jesus. So in Exodus chapter 3, he says, by this name, I did not reveal myself to Abraham. So Abraham only knew him as Almighty. Moses knew him as Yahweh, as Lord. So when you read further, you find that all other prophets had an aspect of him that they knew. But here's a problem. God had a problem still with it because you know pieces of me. But now I want to reveal the totality of who I am. Because I want you to be all that I am. So those who believe in his name are born of him. That means those who believe in his name, their name denotes his nature. Meaning those who believe in his name are in his nature. Can I say that again? They are in what? In his nature. You know how a lion teaches a little lioness how to hunt and kill? It shows the lioness. Takes it. Even the eagle shows the young eaglet how to fly. In other words, the young eaglet see. No, it doesn't hear. It see. Why must it show it? It's showing it what it is. As we behold him. As we behold him. Are we transformed into the very same image? By the way, image is identity. From one dimension of glory. By the way, the same glory is the same person. But there is a different dimensions of him that I see. But those dimensions of him that I see is the dimensions that are in me. So we are becoming by beholding. Say behold. Come and say behold. So who are you beholding? Because who you are beholding is who you are becoming. And Paul says we behold where? In the mirror. Say mirror. Say mirror. So when I go to the mirror, who do I see? My cousin. When I go to the mirror, who do I see? Your uncle. Do you see your uncle? I know you might look alike, but you see you. And that mirror, he says, is the word of God. So who's the word of God? Jesus. So who is the church supposed to behold? Jesus. I wrote a statement, one pastor called me. The businessman, he said, Apostle, I agree with your statement. I didn't want to say it openly. I said 92% to 94% of the church in South Africa has people behind the pulpit who shouldn't be in the pulpit. What that means 92 or 94% of what we are listening to is not Jesus. That's why we don't look like him. And that's why we don't act like him. But Paul says we are beholding in the mirror. Now he told us in Galatians about his personal life. He said, when it pleased God who separated me, say separation. Now he said, I was separated from where? From my mother's womb. and called by grace. Say, you are called. Say, you are called. But what is our first calling? We are called to conform to the image of the Son. The image of the Son. That's what we're called to conform to. But can I tell you what we've conformed to? Faith, baptism, full gospel, doctrines. We've not conformed to the Son. So what characterizes a child or a baby? What characterizes a baby? In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, when you are babies, you live like mere men. That means your regard of yourself is in the natural. So there are natural identities that we wear. Some of them are political identities. Because we want to belong to certain groups. So we wear those identities. But tell somebody, it's time to take off those clothes. Because Paul says, take off the old man. That means take off that old identity of yourself. Now, this is a guy who was a Benjamite. So Paul, if there's anyone who could take on an identity in the natural, that's even better than us Gentiles, is Paul. And he's preaching to the Gentiles. The unsearchable riches of Christ, as you read it. He says, I'm born of a Benjamin. I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. In other words, I had a stature in society. But he said, I count all things but for the excellence of what? Of knowing Christ. In other words, there's something better. I say there's something better. I said, when we are born of God, we're born of his seed, which is his word. Now, if you go to prophetic pictures, number one, Genesis, it says, the seed of a woman. We all know the woman doesn't have a seed. And in Genesis, the woman said, God has appointed me another seed. Let's go further. It's called what? The seed of Abraham. Abraham, through your seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. So the word of God we are born of is the seed of God. The word seed, Greek, means sperma. Because a sperm contains, like a seed, contains the DNA of everything that it produces. In other words, according to Genesis 1 verse 11 to verse 13, every seed produces of its own kind. So why does God give us his seed to be born of? Because he wants us to be of his own kind. Now, Jesus then says, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. That means it remains one of that kind alone. And when he spoke to the wind, you remember on the Sea of Galilee? When he spoke, they said, what kind of man is this? Can I tell you what kind of man is it? The God kind of man. Man in the kindness of God. Man who's in the image of God, who operates like God. Now, you cannot be born of God unless you believe what? That Jesus is Christ. That means unless you believe that Jesus is God. Because Christ is God. And when you believe that, then you are born in the God class. And you have the God nature. And you have the faith of God. The faith of God has already overcame the world. So that means you already are an overcomer. You are not going to be. Because you don't be by doing. You become by believing. So you have to believe, not do anything. Because there's nothing else to do. You've been telling us. There's nothing else to do because all was done. All was done. So what do? You believe. But this doesn't start even in New Testament. Abraham believed and became what was spoken. So what did he believe? The word. Okay, let me go. I'm going to say what Jesus said. It's in the note. Jesus says, no man has seen God at no time. Yes. No one. There's no man at any time who have seen God. But he says, but the only Son of God, he has declared him. He has revealed him. Many times when I want to help people who hear strange voices, I say, it's very easy. Don't worry. when you read the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2, he says Samuel had a voice. He didn't know who was speaking. He had a voice. He went to Eli. He said, are you calling me? And Eli said, I didn't call you. He said, but I had a voice. Now, why did Samuel go to Eli? The voice he could recognize was of Eli. Oh, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something. Some few people are going to hear me, but I'm going to say it. When the voice you've always known was of Sangoma, even if God speaks, you go to a Sangoma. Yes. You go to what you are familiar to. That's why it's called familiar spirit. But it was not a familiar spirit. But he went, how many times did he go to someone? 3 times. Until God said. So when I was young, I had a prophet from Leven de Voort, Andrew. I'll never forget him. And he said to me, we're in Kempton Park, we meet, I was about 19 or so. And he said, God has been calling you more than 3 times and you've been going to the wrong place. That day, I went into a deeper dimension of understanding the one who's been calling me. Because when you read 1 Samuel chapter 3, the last verse, I think verse 17, it said Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He did not yet know him. That means you could hear the voice and still don't know who's speaking. And still go to the wrong sources. And then it says, and the Lord revealed himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. So the word of the Lord who spoke to Abraham was Jesus. That's why Jesus says, no man has seen God except the Son has declared him. So the Son, when Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me, who was coming? Jesus. So Jesus was saying, Papa, I'm tired. I came to Jeremiah. I came to Joshua. I came to Moses. Can you just send me myself? One for all, and I will declare you to the whole world. Because what was the original? Let's create man in our image. Say image. So who is Christ? The image of God. And the image of God is God. So God himself came. He's tired of sending anybody. He came. He came so that if I tell you an inaccurate information about him, you can just check him out. And I don't care if it's, even if it's Paul preaching, they could check the scriptures and see, is this thing true that he's saying about him? But let me help you. He has already spoken about himself. What will make you accurate in your calling and in life is an accurate revelation of Christ. That's it. I'm accurate everywhere I live because I know him. That means when you don't know him, then you don't know yourself. Then you will never be accurate. Some of you, there are things you like in the natural that are of benefit to you. You know why you won't let them go? Because you don't see Christ. You don't see something better. This country has never reached its true potential. What we are capable of doing is going to shock the world. If one accurate son of God could undo what was done more than 400,000 years before he was there, how much can you undo when you become accurate as a son? It doesn't matter when it was done wrong. When you become a son, you have the right measurement to know this is not it. The church in South Africa cannot even judge a false apostle. We have not even come to revelation. The doctrine of Nicolaitans. We can't tell the right teaching, the right doctrine. That church could tell a false apostle. We can tell a false prophet. One false prophet deceived 2 million people in South Africa. Because of inaccuracy in terms of the doctrine. Oh, now you look very interesting, eh? So we don't need a lot and everybody to join. We need the few who are accurate. Oh, can I say that again? There's enough power here to shift South Africa. No, I didn't say Pretoria. South Africa as a whole. Because your potential is determined by your identity. That's why Satan messes your identity. Can I say something? You can't be oppressed. It's not possible. It's not. My righteous servant by his knowledge shall be delivered. That means you are bound because of your ignorance. Isaiah prophesied this ahead of time. He said, they will take him captive whose captives they were. But the key to take him captive whose captive they were is the revelation of who they are. That's why Satan hates this message even to the Jewish community that Jesus has come in the flesh. God, this is God. They can accept him to be all other thing except this. That is the Messiah. Because that message carries with it the fact that he has fulfilled all the demands of the law and of the prophets. Because all the prophets said about him. Romans 1 verse 3, Paul says, the prophecy were concerning the Son. Because God was pointing to the Son. And by the way, we've received the spirit of sonship by whom we cry, who? Abba, Daddy. So prayer doesn't even begin correctly without that accurate revelation that who we are talking to is our Father. Just last testimony. So we had a prayer for all day for South Africa. In that prayer, the Lord gave me a prophetic word. He said, I'm going to unveil everything hidden in this country. He said, but when I do, they're going to kill each other. It's there. The prophecy is recorded. He said, because everything's going to come to light, they're going to begin to fight each other. Now, can I help you to be a prophet? I thought you were going to say no. I don't want to be a prophet. Because servants, they're seeing servants don't know that sons know. There are things God will reveal on the premise that you are a son. And let me help you with the Old Testament. Because Paul says they prophesy in part. They prophesy in part. By the way, who were prophesying? The servants. So even what Moses said about Jesus is just a part. All that Moses could see him as, he could see him as what he revealed himself to him as. That's why he said, a prophet like unto me. He didn't see him as an apostle. He didn't see that. He didn't see him as the priest. As David saw him as in the order of Melchizedek. Moses didn't see that. So even if you go to Moses, you don't see all that he is. You don't. So you have people who started a church with a rod. 5 minutes left, okay. You have people who started a church with a rod of Moses. Because that's all they saw. And then you have one who saw the water. So that these are different aspects. By the way, those revelations are late. So one day, he's teaching me. I was walking. I'm just 19. I'm walking. He shows me my shadow. You see my shadow? He said, that entire Old Testament is my shadow. He said, you don't see my color, you don't see my eyes. He said, you know what's the crazy thing, son? Is when I'm present, you're still looking at my shadow. Come, let's just do this quick example. I'm present with him, but he's looking at my shadow. Just look at my shadow. So he's looking at a shadow. But I'm here with him. The reality of thy shadow is now here. Oh, you didn't get what I said. The reality is now here. Can I go further? Now you are born of the reality, not even of the shadow. So you carry the substance of who he is. That's why when he wants economic change that is already here, is in you. He's coming to you for the economic change. Because he put it inside you. The economic change of an entire world is right in you. You are carrying its substance. So everything you saw was a shadow, but the substance of that deliverance is inside you. That's why he said in the Old Testament, deliverance will come from Zion. Deliver, saviors. So some of you could be crying about what you came here to save. But until you see him, you cannot even see accurately what you are carrying, which is your potential. So I need to balance and help you with the teaching of faith, because you're not getting more faith. What you are getting is to learn how your faith of God, which is in you, already operates. So that you can operate the system that's already there. Now, your laptop came with everything the manufacturer wanted it to do. It's inside it. Now, you might not be using it to its full potential, but the potential is there. The manufacturer guaranteed it. So when you were born again, God put, that's why you have a seal. The seal of the Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that I'll put in you everything you ever gonna need. Thank you so much.